Good morning, Sackville. You're tuned into CHMA 106.9 FM. This is Erica Butler from Tanchma Report. I'm here with Sarah Evans. Hey, Sarah, how you doing?
Hi, Erica. I'm good.
Sarah, you may know her from Garden to Table restaurant, Ducks Aren't Real, and the Black Duck Bakery and grocery store. And she's also, some of you may not know, a master gardener. And we're here to talk gardening stuff. Yeah. Are you excited?
I'm very excited about gardening.
Yeah. I know. I mean, it's a little hard for me to get my gardening brain on right now, but I've noticed in my social media feeds, things are popping up all the time, like, oh, seeds are starting and that sort of thing. So I wanted to, you know, start off saying, like, what are you doing to sort of either actually prepare or mentally prepare for this upcoming gardening season?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's like this time of year, there's still snow on the ground, but the sun is so much brighter and stronger that it's really like noticeable. And I think that's what gets people thinking about gardening and thinking about growing things, just because you can feel the strength of the sun. House plants are sort of doing a little bit better. And yeah, it won't be too long. What am I doing? I just planted my first seeds just the other day. And I just planted some like perennials that I wanted to grow and some green onions and yeah, not too many seeds. I tend to start seeds earlier sometimes and then I regret it.
Ah, because they get, the plants start to get too big before you can get them in the ground.
Yeah, totally. Like things like especially tomatoes and peppers, which I feel like is what people often want to grow from seed because there's so many fun varieties and because they grow pretty easily and pretty quickly, they can get really big. The biggest struggle will be like keeping them alive in your house before you can bring them outside. So really like the shortest amount of time you have to keep them inside, especially if you don't have like a super elaborate grow light set up and you're just growing them in your window or like in a sunny spot, you want to sort of minimize the amount of time they spend inside. So they'll need like a month or 6 weeks. But if you're thinking about bringing those outside, you know, middle of May, then you don't really want to start things till, you know, the beginning of April, even second week of April.
Oh, wow. So that late.
Yeah,
so
you even can do it that late. Yeah.
Is it, you know, how worth it is it to start things from seed, or what are the advantages there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think we've got a couple of great nurseries here in town, and you can buy a lot of transplants around, but and also a great place to get transplants in the spring is the farmer's market, because Wismichael Farm and a few other folks with Willow Farm often will bring things that they've been growing. They'll grow some extra to sell, which is great, and that's a really good source of transplants. But in terms of starting things from seed, you have a way bigger variety of varieties you can start. And it's just, I mean, it's just sort of something fun to do in the colder months to sort of get ready.
Right.
I feel like we all need that like bit of green and like watching a seed germinate earlier on in the season is like something that's just like uplifting and exciting.
I'm the lazy person who waits because I know that everyone will have too many transplants.
Totally.
So it's a, if you can hold off long enough, then you're bound to get some gifted items.
That's true.
Yeah.
There's always a friend who's like, I grew 70 pepper plants.
Yeah.
What do I do?
What do you think is the, like for a total beginner gardener, what is the sort of easiest, most highest success rate thing to start in your own window if you don't have any contraption set up?
Yeah, totally. You know, even this time of year, I would say if you really, really want to grow something right now, just plant some like kale and lettuce greens and things like that, you know, Swiss chard, even beets that you might eat the greens, any arugula, any kind of green like that. And you can seed them, instead of seeding them like in individual pots, you can kind of like put a pinch of them into a pot or plant them in like sort of a bigger container or tray, and they'll germinate pretty quickly, and you can even eat them while they're still in your house. As well, if they start to get big, they can go outside before May. Like they can go outside sort of as soon as the ground starts to thaw out, so they won't spend as much time inside. So if you wanted to, you know, grow really sturdy, awesome kale plants, you could get them going sooner than later.
They're hardy enough to withstand the little cold maritime spring.
Yeah, totally. And I think also with greens, it's like I often think about, so if you're growing tomatoes, it's like you're growing this plant that then has to flower and then it has to fruit and then you have to ripen the fruits and then you have to eat them. Whereas the greens, all it has to do is grow greens and then you get to eat them. So it's sort of like a lot easier, a lot quicker, and more foolproof, I guess.
Yeah. Now we should mention, I think, like for transplants this year, there's a change. You know, the local nursery closed down, the one closest to Sackville here, closed down last year. But now we have a Open Sky cooperative is going to have bedding plants, I believe. Do you know what else is going on? Where people can get those kind of things, or where they'll have to start looking eventually?
Totally. So from what I know, the Anderson's greenhouse that's been there for like more than 20 years closed last year. And then this year, Sam, who worked at Anderson's for a long time, is taking part of it over, and he's working with Open Sky. So they're doing like a social enterprise greenhouse, and they're going to grow, I know, quite a bit of veggies and I think some bedding plants as well. But then also Joni, who was a CHMA alum, I think she worked here at one point in time, but she worked at the greenhouse as well. And she's starting a small nursery that's called, I believe it's Little Plants Nursery.
Okay.
And they're both on Instagram is where I've seen that and talked to them. So she's growing more like bedding plants, annuals, perennials, things like that.
All right.
So there's, you know, two people with a lot of experience growing, and they'll be selling out of the same space, which everybody knows, which is like up in Middle Sackville at the end of School Lane. So I'm not sure like what their goal for an opening day is, but
I'm sure we'll hear about it as it gets closer to the day. And like you mentioned, we have a little wait before people are actually buying plants to go in the ground.
Yeah, totally. And another thing that's coming up actually is I just saw in Amherst, they're doing a CD Saturday, and that's on April 1st, I believe, from like, I don't know, in the morning, early afternoon time. And that's at like a, I can't remember the name, it's like a heritage center that's on Church Street.
Okay, yeah. CD Saturday in Amherst, and and so that's a good place to get meet other gardeners and that sort of thing. When you go searching for information or even resources, like when you go buy your seeds and that sort of thing, where do you head out to?
Yeah, so when I've been buying seeds, I've bought them from a lot of places over the years. I try and save some seeds from my garden every year, but then there's always other things I don't save and that I want to try that I've never grown before. And in the last few years, I've really been tending towards like some of the awesome local organic seed companies in the Maritimes, because there's a few, like this year I ordered from Incredible Seeds and Yonder Hill Farm. They're both on the South Shore. And then there's a couple like Hope Seeds and Annapolis Seeds in the Annapolis Valley. And they're great. I mean, it's a great way if you're, you know, looking to support small businesses and local sustainable agriculture in the Maritimes, then it's an awesome place to buy from these different, like, some of them are farms as well. Somebody like Hope Seeds will buy seeds from farms. So it's sort of like an extra thing that organic farms have going, where they can grow crops to sell, but then also grow seeds for these companies. So that's a really great option. And they all have like websites with ordering online as a possibility. So super easy. You don't have to work any harder to order from them than you would have to order from like a big seed house. And they've got a really good variety of different things that they offer as well.
Now, you are a master gardener, and that's not just we're calling you a master gardener. That's like a thing. That's a capital M, capital G.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So master gardener, it started in the United States as a part of like the university extension services that sort of started, I don't know when, probably in like the 1950s. But the idea was to take like university research done around different topics. So some of it would be around like food and food processing, and some of it was around gardening and growing and agriculture, and then connect that with people in the public. So the Master Gardener program was started out of those those universities as a way to train people in the community who were excited about gardening and had a lot of garden knowledge, and then encourage them to go out into their communities and take that knowledge with them. So in the Maritimes, there's a Master Gardener Association, and there's through the Dalhousie Agriculture School, there's a program. So it's all like online. It's like 5 classes that you take and a field school. And yeah, I've done that over the last like 4 years. It was great because some of it was like knowledge that I already had. Some of it was like science-based about gardening, which was really helpful and interesting. But I feel like it really like cemented a lot of the knowledge or the experiences that I'd had and sort of made me feel more confident talking about things because I like now sort of have this background, and it's also a nice like network organization to like ask people questions about.
I always find with gardening, it's an interesting pursuit. Like in my youth, I worked at a sort of new community garden in Fredericton, actually. We were setting up a new community garden. And of course, all the knowledge starts to come out of the community as you do something like that. And I can remember, growing these incredibly beautiful tomato plants. But there was like controversy in the neighborhood because, you know, one person wanted to do it one way and another person wanted to do it another way. Are there, you know, and I always think it's like economists, gardeners, they never kind of agree. You can't get two to sort of come up with the same conclusion. Is there a lot of variability in how you go about growing things? There's so many, you know, you can buy all these different books, square foot gardening, this kind of gardening, this like permaculture, like all these different principles. Is there a lot of like choice, or is there sort of one right way that we should be doing it?
Yeah, I don't think there's really, well, I mean, I don't think there's one right way. I think everybody does it differently. A lot of people, it's knowledge that it was passed through their family too. So they might have learned from their parents or their grandparents or from other adults. So it's like something that they sort of do in a way that's, you know, traditional to them. But I think that there's a huge amount of like scientific research that's happening around sustainable agriculture. And a lot of that does breed over into ideas about gardening, especially since people are growing more food and growing more like food in raised beds where you're growing it on sort of a slightly bigger scale. So I think that that's changing. One thing that I've been learning a lot about recently that's really interesting and I think that's sort of newer in the garden world is the idea of like no-till gardening. So the idea of not digging up your beds, whereas like even in the Master Gardener program, it was like, okay, yeah, you double dig your bed in the spring and then plant into it. And now what people are saying and doing experiments, both in universities and then also just like gardeners doing experiments and putting them on YouTube, people are saying like, don't do that. It just destroys the soil structure, which is harmful. It also brings all the weed seeds to the surface. And then you end up with a huge weed problem. So instead, just keep the soil structure the way it is, you know, layer compost on top of it every year and then plant into it. So, I mean, that's like an oversimplification of the concept, but still, like, it's something that I think is becoming more and more talked about. And it's something that I'm going to try at the community garden this year as well, because there's like pretty heavy weed pressure there. But, you know, maybe we don't need to dig the beds out and expose all those weeds to the surface. So there's always things to try. But that's what I love about it is, like, no matter how much I feel like I've learned and I know every year, there's just, like, so much more to know. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating.
Yeah. And it's, I guess, so particular to place, too, because what works, you know, I mean, the light conditions, the soil conditions, everything. I mean, there's so many variables that you have. So even, you know, move from one sackful yard to the next sackful yard, you know, you might need a different approach slightly.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. The Black Jack, we have like an incredible little microclimate there where it's like surrounded by the Willow Lane parking lot and, you know, pretty relatively protected from the wind. The wind can be like a major problem for a lot of gardens around here, especially because it can like actually break plants and also just like change the environment that they're in. So yeah, there's less wind. It gets really hot back there. So it's almost like gardening in a different zone. So it's kind of fun to play around with that. But yeah, different things work in different places for sure.
It's interesting. I know yet you use that garden and you use it to supply your restaurant and the grocery store to a certain degree. How productive is that small space? It's just tiny, but you've got fruit trees and a greenhouse and all kinds of stuff coming out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been exciting because we started that 10 years ago when we moved here. And so, you know, last year I harvested like 80 pounds of pears off those trees. It was unbelievable. And we planted those trees, you know, when we first got here. It's amazing. So I've really been enjoying like the perennial fruit part of it. There's a lot of like fruit bushes where we can get a lot of gooseberries, raspberries, blackberries, things like that. But also perennial herbs, just having like a huge sage bush where you can just harvest and harvest and harvest and it never stops. And then I try and be selective about growing things that I want to be using fresh. So like growing greens, growing herbs, growing, you know, some tomatoes, but then I don't grow like carrots or potatoes or things like that, that, you know, farmers with a big acreage can grow a lot better than I can. So yeah, unless maybe I want some like small baby carrots just for fun. So
Right.
It's about being selective and figuring out, you know, what are quick crops? What are things that I'm going to want to use all the time? What are things that maybe I can't find that are different?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I often think that when I'm growing my own vegetables, and then I go to the farmer's market and I see what these expert farmers are growing, I'm like, why am I breaking my back to grow these carrots when I, like, you know, I can go get a beautiful bag of Nature's Root delicious carrots.
But, yeah, totally.
But I guess it's all about thinking about what's fresh and available. Let's talk about the Sackville Community Garden. You're involved with this. This is a long running thing. I noticed that there's going to be some improvement. I mean, or some, I'm not going to say renovations. What's the word we use when it's a garden here? Some improvements happening or some changes happening this year?
Had a grant from the town.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple of things happening there this year. The Sackville Community Garden's been there since, I believe, like 2004 in some form. But the amazing thing about that garden is that as well as having the plots, which like members can use over the season to grow their own vegetables, there's also an incredible food forest area that's very well established with all kinds of native plants. And then there's a new food forest area that we planted last year with EOS. So that's sort of like a new trail. So if folks want to go wander around when the snow melts, they're totally welcome to do that and check it out. And then there's sort of like front perennial berm areas that are a little bit overgrown and have been kind of not taken care of super well. So what we're going to do with those and what we got some funding to do is to plant like a really nice pollinator garden in there that's going to be just like a perennial pollinator garden, attract all kinds of beneficial insects to the area, and just something that can look good all year round and, be sort of relatively maintenance-free.
If you're not familiar with the Sackville Community Garden, it's quite a little lovely little spot, and there's a pizza oven and a little shed where the tools are stored.
Mm-hmm.
People can get involved, right? I mean, that's, you're getting up and running for this season. So.
Yeah, we're just having our first like organizing committee next week, and then we're going to put out a call for people to reserve plots. So if people want either to reserve a plot or if they just want to be involved, I'm really encouraging people who maybe have their own garden at home and don't need a garden plot, but still want to contribute to something and just participate in something, just like getting out in the, you know, in the area around other people who are interested in gardening, maybe learning things, maybe teaching people things, depending on your experience level. If people want to get involved and participate in those events, then they can just email us and join our email list, and then we'll send them information about when and where we're doing things. And that's it's sackvillecommunitygarden@gmail.com.
Okay, easy to remember.
Pretty simple.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And I think you can just pop that in Google and you'll find those coordinates as well, right?
Yeah,
Sackville
totally.
Community Garden.
You bet. Yeah. And the other thing that's happening there this year as well is the town is building the new water retention pond, and that's going right behind the garden. And so that's going to, intersect with some of the trail that we built last year with EOS. So I'm hopeful that that's also just going to raise the profile of the garden because people will use that as like a bit more walking trail infrastructure in town, which is great.
Mm-hmm. There'll be more people. Yeah. As you walk out, the retention pond trail sort of heads up towards the garden. That spur ends at Charles Street, but it's going to keep going beyond. And so you're right. I mean, I think probably a lot more people will see the garden and the beautiful stonework you have there. And it's just, I mean, it's quite an amazing, structure that you folks have built mm-hmm. there. Have you been involved in that since the beginning?
No. I sort of had a plot when I first moved here and then wasn't involved. But then in the last few years, decided to get back into it.
All right.
And it's been great. It's a good group of people. And yeah, if people are interested in like getting involved in organizing too, we always need more people. So yeah, it's fun.
All right.
And if folks also just want to go and hang out there, there's picnic tables. It's a great place for a picnic. Like, feel free to, don't feel like you have to be a member or know somebody who's gardening there. You're just allowed to go. It's just a public space.
All right. Okay, so it's coming up on 9 o'clock and Tantramar Report is going to take over and you'll hear more of my voice here. But I want to, maybe leave us with, some thoughts on, what should people be thinking about if you're interested in starting out in the world of growing food or growing flowers, I guess we should consider. I'm always the practical food focused person, mm-hmm. but flowers are important too.
Oh yeah, both are very important. And that's what I liked about the Master Gardener program is it really talked about both because both are exciting.
Yeah.
I don't know, just I guess thinking about what you like to grow, what you want to grow, what you think is practical for you in the space you have. And starting to just get excited about it. Maybe focus in on like a couple of crops and grow like, a few different kinds of tomatoes or a few different kinds of beans rather than trying to grow absolutely everything that you would eat. So sort of thinking about it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Focus in, pick your battle.
Exactly.
Not that it's a battle.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's a battle.
Sometimes it's a battle, I guess, with pests, weather, that kind of thing.
Totally. We can talk about that when the battle starts.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah. And we're going to do this again. We're going to be coming back, bring you back in the studio, hopefully a number of times as the season gets rolling and keep checking in. And we'll be able to take questions from any listeners. If you have a specific garden question, get in touch with us. In the meantime, here is, we're heading over to Tantramar Report.